in Proverbs chapter 4 today. Look in verse 20. He said, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. We thank you for your wonderful blessings that you've given us. You've been so kind to us. And Lord, we just could not praise you enough this morning for what you've done. But Lord, we need to try to praise you and do praise you. And Lord, we do want to glorify and honor your name this morning. And thank you and that for all you've done. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here that's lost, that does not know you, I pray they might come and be saved this morning. I pray you might touch them to realize their need of salvation today, and that they would move and trust you. And Lord, if there's a need here, I pray that need would be met. And I ask that, Lord, that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh this morning. We certainly need you. And Lord, I pray you'd guard our mind and our thoughts. And Lord, we cannot preach without you this morning. This thing's going to fall flat, and that without a touch from heaven today. And Lord, I pray that you'd just help us today. I'll do my best to do my part, but I know that you're going to do yours too. And Lord, we sure do love you and thank you for loving us. And Lord, I pray you meet with us now in the preaching time, and we'll give the glory for it all. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who loved us and died for us so that we might be saved. It's in his name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. I preached out this scripture, I believe it was, back in the month of July of last year. I preached on keeping your heart. I'm really going to preach that thought again, but not the same message if I could. But we find that as Solomon is writing to his son and writing to us, we find that he encourages us, and that first of all, to keep and that words of wisdom. We find that he encourages his son, and again encourages us to keep God's word. Let me say that the greatest place, the only place that you're going to find spiritual wisdom is out of the word of God. You're going to find it in this book. And when you need help, and when you need direction, and when you need to make a decision, it's going to tell you how to do that, and it's going to tell you how to live your life. He tells us to put away frowardness and a perverse mouth, that is one that is distorted from right. So we should talk right, we should act right, and we should be traveling on the right path in verses 25 through verse 27. I love what he said in verse 26. He said, "Ponder the path of thy feet." Ponder that thing. Think about it. I wonder about it, the path that you're on. Are you on the right path? Are you headed in the right direction? If I go this way, what's going to happen? If I go this way, what's going to happen? I believe we need to ponder the path that we go down. But in verse 23, he said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Now that word diligence simply means, and that to strive after, it means to continue or a steady application. It means to go after it. If you let me say that, to keep after it and to do it. He said, "For out of it are the issues of life." Can I say today that your heart, the inner part of you, now not that thing that's thumping in there tonight or today, but the heart is what guides us and leads us in this life. He said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." It's your heart that you're going to follow. It's your heart that's going to direct you and guide you in this life. And that's why it is so important that we have a heart that is kept by God. That's why we need a heart that is wanting and that to follow God. We need a heart in that that's going to please God. Can I say by way of introduction quickly this morning, it's with your heart that you believe for salvation. Is that not what he said in Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 over there? He said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We were talking the other day on the front porch out there. I believe it's Wednesday night. It might have been last Sunday night. I can't remember. And we were talking about that eunuch over there and him getting saved. And he wanted to get baptized. And Philip told him, he said, you can get baptized if thou believest with all thine heart. Listen, it takes believing in your heart. It's not a head knowledge that Christ died for you. It's not a head knowledge that he rose from you. But friend, it's a heart knowledge that you have believed and trusted and put your faith with your heart in him today. That's what salvation is, you see. And so you must believe with your heart. It's your heart that you believe to salvation. It's your heart that you give to another. Do you know when you find your mate, you give your heart to another? Hunter, does Bethany have your heart? Well, of course she does. Amen. Does he have yours? Yeah, she didn't shake her head near as big as he shook his. But yeah, I've embarrassed her now, that's for sure. Listen, you know, look at me, young people that ain't married this morning. Be very careful who you give your heart to. Listen, be very careful, because there's a lot of young people out there that have gave a little bit of their heart to this one, a little bit of their heart to that one. And by the time it's time to get married, well, they just ain't got much else to give away. I'm telling you, we give our heart. We give our heart to the one that we love, you see. We give our heart, and that's why we give our heart and that to God, because he loved us and we love him. And it's our heart that he wants, and it's our heart that he wants us to guard. So we're to keep our heart. Now notice right here that he says, keep thy heart. It's not God that's going to do the keeping. Now he's going to do the keeping for salvation. Y'all understand that, right? He does the keeping. Thank God for that in salvation. But it is our responsibility and that to keep our heart and to guard it. See, a lot of times we want to think that God's going to keep us from everything, and that the Heavenly Father is watching over us, and he's going to shelter us, and he's going to keep us from seeing things that we shouldn't or going places. Listen, you've got to understand, you do have a will today. And sometimes your flesh and your will wants to do things that is against the will of God. And we have to keep our heart and that in him. Number one this morning, can I say that first of all, we need to keep our heart holy. Can I ask you something? Are you happy to be here this morning? Let's just start right here, right now. Some of you look like you're just drugged down. I'll be honest with you. And I know Sunday mornings is hard, especially if you laid out all night on Saturday night. Listen, I'm sick half the night. And I'm still happy to be here. Amen. Listen, but your heart, first of all, number one, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. First of all, number one, we need to keep a holy heart. Listen, that word holy means to be whole or entire. It means to be consecrated or set apart and that for sacred or for God's use. We need to keep a heart that is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, he said this, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. I've told you a million times, that word conversation is not referring to what's coming out of your mouth. That word conversation is talking about how you carry yourself, your deportment, how you act, who you are. That's what conversation means in the Bible. And he said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, can I tell you that God expects us and that to live holy today? He wants holy people serving a holy God. I want him happy with me, don't you? Do you want God happy with you? I certainly do. And one way that I know that he's going to be happy with me is if I'm living a holy life. But we need to keep a holy heart. Listen, inspiration from God depends on a holy heart. Do you want God to talk to you? Do you want God to deal with you and help you? Listen, I do. I'll be honest with you. I want to talk to him every day, and I want him to talk to me. Listen, I got to preaching over at the nursing home this past Friday. I am simply preaching out of the book of First Thessalonians over there, where he said I had to pray without ceasing. Listen, them folk in the nursing home may not be able to do much, but I can tell you they can sure enough do one thing, and that's pray.
Listen, hey, some of them old timers I've got over there, I ain't got to praying around him. I remember Miss Miller. I'd go in and visit with Miss Miller over there. I mean, she was up in her 90s. And I'm telling you, every time that I went in that room and sat down and began to talk to her, it's like God showed up in that room. And I'm telling you, when she'd begin to pray, and I'd begin to pray, man, it would get real in there. Listen, he would come by and he'd want to show up to help us. You want to know one thing, friend, today? If we want God to come by and help us and give us some inspiration out of His Word and just to be able to feel Him, friend, we're going to have to keep a holy heart. The Bible said in James chapter 4, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What he's talking about there, being double-minded, he's trying to live in the world and live for God. And he said, purify your hearts. Get your heart right with God. Get your heart holy before God. You cannot, listen to me, you cannot, I cannot, I not try to live in this world and live for God at the same time. It will not work, and our heart will not be holy before God. One that is consecrated and set apart for Him. Listen, where's your heart for Him this morning? Is God dealing with you? Does God inspire you? Does God come by and open His book to you? Where is your heart and at with Him this morning in holiness? Listen, I think we ought to be holy. If we'll draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. Now notice that is conditional. He said draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. It's not that He's going to draw nigh to us and then we'll draw to Him. We draw nigh to Him first, don't we? Ain't that right? What's the old saying? I mean, listen, when me and my wife dated, she sat right next to me everywhere we went. Right next to me. You know what? She don't sit next to me no more. But I've not moved. I've always been behind the steering wheel. So who's moved, you see? You know, I don't believe that. Do they even make vehicles that's got bench seats in them anymore? I mean, it could sit right next to me. I mean, those are the vehicles we had back in the day. Listen, we ought to just draw up and snuggle up right next to Him. And listen, we ought to purify our heart and get separated out of this world. Numbers chapter 15, we need a heart that is toward Him. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of their borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go whoring, that you may remember and do all the commandments and be holy unto your God. He said, get your heart turned toward God. He told him, he said, I want you to make a fringe on your clothes. And he said, I want you to put a ribbon of blue, R-I-B-B-A-N-D, not a ribbon, but a riband. And he said, put a riband of blue that you would remember the law. He said, every time that you looked, he said, that you'd remember that I'm holy and that I want your heart in that turn toward me. Well, I'm going to tell you, if we're going to have God help us, if we're going to have God fight our battles, and if we're going to have God look toward us and do anything for us, we need a holy heart. It's exciting this morning, ain't it? Holy, where's your heart with God this morning? Is it holy? Is it separated out of this world? You know, the more unholiness that you put in your heart, the more unholy you become. It does matter what you watch. Amen. It does matter what you listen to. It does matter what you read. It does matter who you run with. We just need to be holy, don't we? So, preacher, we know those things. Then let's do those things. Listen, if we know, you say, I'm doing them, then good. Then you can sit back and you can enjoy this message. But have a holy heart. It's for inspiration. You know what gives us instruction? God will give us instruction, won't He? He'll speak to our heart and He'll help us in that. Through the Word of God, He'll give us instruction when we're separated out of the Word of God, or out of the world into the Word of God. Well, I was about to mess that up, wasn't I? Do you know, go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want you to understand something about your heart. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, look in verse 15. He said, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God and to walk in His ways
and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. What are you trying to tell us, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, look what he said right here. He said, but if thine heart turn away. You know why we need to keep a holy heart? You know why we need to keep our heart? Because listen, it is prone to wander. It is prone to turn away from God. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. He said, pay attention to what's coming into it. Understand what's in your heart. Know what's going in and know what's coming out. Because listen, out of it are the issues of life. And that's what's going to guide you. And listen, that's why it's important to keep a holy heart. There is an influence to our heart to see. Listen, our heart can be influenced. Listen, whether it's in the world or whether it's in God's Word, it can be influenced. And then it's our heart that influences our direction. Some people really don't think it matters what goes into their heart. But I'm telling you right now, it matters. It matters what you let in. Because listen, it's just like what you let into your house. Does it matter what you let into your house? Does it matter? It matters. Would you let a wolf into your house? Well, preacher, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Why, of course it is. Listen, why, that thing would eat your face off, wouldn't it? Huh? Listen, we've got a cat in the house, and sometimes I think she's going to eat my face off, Jordan. I'm telling you, she scares me sometimes. And I mean, she's just a little cat, and I think, man, this cat's going to get mean, you know. But, you know, it's like what you let in. And I was thinking this morning, I'm going to preach a message on this sometimes, the bull and bullfrog. Y'all know the story about the bull and bullfrog? You can take a bullfrog and set him in a pan of water and turn the water. Or so they say. I've never tried it. And whoever they are, I don't know. But they say you can take a bullfrog and set him in a thing of water and turn the heat up little and little and little at a time. And he'll sit there and boil to death. But if you were to take him and have a bull in hot water and throw him in there, he'll hop right out. Now, you know what happens in our heart a lot of times? We just let a little in, a little in, a little in, a little in at a time until it's no big deal anymore. Is that not what's happened to church all over America today and all over the world? A little bit of the world slipped in here and a little bit of the world has slipped in there and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit until you can't tell the difference between the world and the church. And that's what's happening. Hey, listen, our heart influences us. It's the heart that helps us serve God. It's the heart that keeps us about God's business. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, you don't have to go there, but I'll go there. But it talks about King Hezekiah. You know, at one time, King Hezekiah's heart got lifted up in him. Now, King Hezekiah, if you look at his whole life, he had some more life. But you find that he, at one time God had blessed him so much that his heart gets lifted up in pride. I'm going to deal with that in a minute. But you find in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, and the Bible said, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Everything he done was with his heart. Do we do everything with our heart for the Lord? Or everything we do for the Lord is with our heart. With an humble heart. Listen. Listen, all I'm trying to get you to see is we need to keep a holy heart. One that is perfected toward him. One that is separated out of this world. And one that wants to serve him. It's our heart that influences us. What's on the inside? Listen, I know I've told you all this many times. I used to love that show, CSI. Used to love that show. And man, you sit there and you fill your mind with so much of that stuff. And you know, that whole show is nothing but killing and figuring out who's done it. And you know what? After a while, if you watch enough of that stuff, it begins to affect you. As my daddy said, there was one show, he said, it gets you in there so deep you couldn't hardly get out of it. Now, do you realize that stuff like that affects your heart? You don't think it does, but it does. It affects your heart in holiness and keeping it clean and pure and that before God. Let me move on. I'm going to get stuck on holiness today if we ain't careful. Number two, let me say this. Not only do we need to keep a holy heart, but we need to keep a humble heart. We can't serve God in pride today. You can't do it. I can't do it. We cannot serve God in pride. The Bible said in James chapter 4, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now let me say this today. We're commanded to keep a humble heart. But we need to keep a humble heart and that for the work's sake. Do you realize that none of this work is about us? What was it in Matthew? Was it in Matthew chapter 5 where he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven? Is that not who we're serving? Are we not to keep our heart humble and at before Him in a place that God could use us? You know, in a prideful heart, God ain't going to be able to influence us, is He? God ain't going to be able to direct us. Because why? We're going our own way. We're doing our own thing. We may be telling folk and we may be telling ourselves that we're serving God. Do you know that sometimes, let me see how I can get this right here. Ain't you glad when you get lined up with God and go the way that He wants you to go, then you're happy. You're happy. It's almost like getting to do what you want to do. You know the old saying is, if you work a job that you love, then you never work a day in your life. I don't know how true that is, but that's what they say. Can I tell you that if you're going the way that God wants you to go with a humble spirit, with a humble heart, listen, there'll be so much happiness in your life, you won't know what to do with it. Humble. You know what that means? That means we've got us out of the way and got Him sitting on the throne of our heart. Deuteronomy chapter 8, he told the children of Israel, talking about a lifted up heart, he said, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said, when I get you over there into the land of Canaan, and he said, you see everything that you've got over there, everything that I've blessed you with, he said, you're going to probably forget me. I was telling young adults down in the Sunday school class today, I said, now me and my wife, I said, we do have a little money in the bank, but we're not rich. And I said, sometimes I wonder if it's because I couldn't handle it. And when I said we got a little, I mean a little bit, okay? Don't think your pastor's hoarding it up, because we ain't. Everybody, listen, it may come in this hand, but it's going out this one. Everybody's wanting it, amen. Listen, but you know what? When our heart is turned toward the Lord, when we look at what He's done and everything that He has done and will do for us, man, I'm telling you, I become very small when I really look at how great big He is. Think about everything He's done for you, church. Think about every blessing, every time He's answered your prayer, every time that He has inclined and looked down on you and helped you and strengthened you and encouraged you and brought you through everything. We have no right whatsoever to get lifted up. None. We have no right in that to lift ourselves up and say that we've really done something and that we've accomplished something. Hey, we've done nothing without Him. It's all because of Him. But we're to have a humble heart. Philippians, or Proverbs chapter 22, he said, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. That's how we get our blessing, is by humility. Do you realize we're to keep our heart humble? We're to do that. Now, you don't want God to make you humble. Because if you get lifted up in pride and God has to jerk the rug out from under you and make you humble, that's a bad place to be. And many people will tell you that God has brought them to a place of humility simply because they and that their self would not bring their heart to a place of humility. You cannot, I cannot serve God with a prideful heart. Take your Bible and go to Luke 18. Look with me in Luke 18. The Lord is talking about the Pharisee and the publican over here. I think most of us knows this story. In Luke chapter 18, look in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, look who he was talking to. In a prideful heart, you're better than other people. We're not better than nobody. The only thing good about us is Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, listen, we were all dying going to the same devil's hell and needed to get saved. And listen, ain't none of us that would be any good without him. But look in verse 9. He said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. See, he's already comparing himself, ain't he? Lord, I thank you I'm not like other people. He's already made the comparison, hadn't he? Get you in trouble. He said, I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So he made his comparison to sinners and said, I'm glad I'm not an extortioner, or I'm not unjust, or an adulterer, or I'm not even like this publican over here, this old sinner over here. He said, now he begins to tell God what he does. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He said, God, I'm not like other men. I'm not a sinner like other people. I'm not unrighteous. I'm not even like this old nasty, dirty sinner over here, this publican. And Lord, I do fast. I do tithe. I do what you want me to do. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So you find one that was lifted up in pride and one that was low in humility. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Keep a humble heart. In humility we are to serve God. You know, he told us in the book of Philippians chapter 2, I believe it was, he said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto the death, even the death of the cross. He said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. What's he talking about? The mind of humility. If there was anybody that could have made himself a reputation, it was Christ Jesus the Lord. He was God in the flesh, was he not? But everywhere he went, everything that he ever done was in a spirit and in a heart of humility and in lowliness. Never one time did he say, look at what I've done. Never one time. Never one time did he praise himself. He always glorified the Father, didn't he? Amen. You know, when the Spirit came, what did he say? He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to testify me. Hey, the Holy Spirit always points to Christ Jesus the Lord. Who are we to be pointing to? Christ Jesus the Lord. Ain't that right? A humble heart. So we are to keep our heart humble. Well, when we see pride begin to slip in, man, we just need to say, nope, that ain't right. It's got to get out. Got to go. Because it's going to influence us. I've preached on that before. Listen, we just need to keep our heart humble. We need to do that. He said, keep your heart with all diligence. We have to do the keeping. We must do the guarding of it. Number three, keep a happy heart. Now, that's a little tough to do in this world, ain't it? It's a little tough to do in everything that we live in, is to keep a happy heart sometimes. Now let me say, if you're lost today, you shouldn't have a happy heart. But if you're saved, you ought to have a happy heart. You know, Paul, as he's standing before Agrippa over there, he tells, I'm glad that you permitted me to speak for myself. And he said, I thank myself happy, King Agrippa. Paul said, I thank myself happy. He said, I'm happy today. I'm going to be honest with you. To keep our heart happy, we're going to have to trust in Him, ain't we? We're just going to have to put our faith and our trust in Him and say, Lord, I'm looking to You. I want You to handle this thing. I know that You can. I know that You can help me. Psalms 119 said, great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. We look in that book. I will find happiness in that book. We'll find peace and joy and gladness in this book. But listen, it's our attitude that we got to keep and that to stay happy, ain't it? You ever been around people that just had a bad attitude? Bad attitude. But you ever been around people that's had good attitude? You say, preacher, man, I am striving to have a good attitude, but it is a struggle. And I'm going to tell you, it is a struggle sometimes to keep a good attitude. To keep yourself with your chin lifted up in the air and say, I'm going to serve God today and He's going to help me. And listen, it's easy for me to stand up here behind this pulpit when I'm having a good day and say, have a happy heart, when your life is down in the dumps. My pastor used to say, you're zero with the rim kicked off of it. Ever been there? You couldn't find happiness. You couldn't be happy. Listen, we got to kind of just be like Paul sometimes and just say, I just think myself happy. I'm going to be happy today. I'm glad for what God's done. He's brought me through all this. We may still be in a mess, but man, I'm glad God's brought us through it all. He's got us this far. He's going to get us through to the other side. It was David. They'd carry it over there when he went out to fight with the Philistines, and they didn't want him to fight. And so he goes back. Ziklag's been burned. They've hauled everything off. They were talking about stoning David. And the Bible said that David done what? He encouraged himself in the Lord. So he just trusted God. He just encouraged him. Everybody was against him. Nobody was there to help him. He had lost everything at the present time. And he said, I'm just going to have to get happy in the Lord. You need to keep your heart with all diligence and keep it happy today. Because if not, you're going to have a depressing heart. And a discouraged heart. And a despondent heart. And it's a lot easier to get discouraged and look at all the bad things than it is to get encouraged and get happy. You know, that's why you got to be careful who you get around. You know, you ever just been around people that's unhappy? I think I asked that question a few minutes ago. It's like getting around somebody that's mad. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 22, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his way and get a snare to thy soul. It's the same thing getting around people that's just unhappy all the time. Misery loves what? Loves company, don't it? Now, I'm talking about guarding, keep your heart with all diligence. Got to keep a happy heart. But you got to be careful who you run around with and who you stay with. Because I'm going to tell you, if you get around people that's negative all the time, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to have a negative heart. And you're going to have a negative attitude. Nothing can ever go right. I don't like fake happiness. But I like real happiness. We keep it happy simply in following the Lord. He's talking about John 13. He's talking about being a servant to His disciples over there. He had washed their feet. He had laid off His garment and girded Himself with a towel. And He goes about and He washes their feet. And He teaches them how to be a servant. But He said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you learn how to be a servant, you begin to be happy. We keep it by abiding in Him. Number four, last of all, and I'm going to quit. When we keep our heart harbored, anchored in Jesus. Not in the world, not in the things of the world, but simply in Jesus. David said in Psalms chapter 40, he said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, Thy law is within my heart. He said, I delight to do. He said, I just want to follow You and do what You want me to do. We keep our heart by keeping it in Him. We keep it anchored, harbored in Him. Because that's what's going to make us happy. That's what's going to help us. Listen, we're going to delight in serving Him. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's dangers if we don't stay harbored in Him. It's going to lead us away and lead us astray and go the way that it wants to. Let me ask you a question today. How many people do you know that were serving God at one time, and then all of a sudden they're not serving God? And it may not have been all of a sudden. People just don't up and quit church. I don't think they do. Just up and quit God and quit church. Why? Because I'll guarantee you, even though you may not be able to see it in them, I'll guarantee you they have contemplated some things before they quit serving. They have thought about some things. What their heart has got led astray on some things in the wrong direction. And so they've quit serving the Lord. They've not stayed harbored in Him. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He wants me and you to guard our heart and keep our heart, because it's what directs us. Are we keeping it holy and happy and humble before Him and keeping it harbored in Him today? Listen, we just need to follow the Lord. Most of all, if you've never trusted Him in your heart, He can save you. Now, let's bow our heads today, if we would, across the house. Your heart, what are you doing with your heart? What are you doing with it today? Are you following the Lord? Are we keeping it holy? Putting holy stuff in it so that holy stuff can come out of it? Because it's out of the heart. It's out of the heart that it comes out of us and directs us. How is your heart before God today? Maybe you need to come and say, Lord, I just need some help. I need some help in keeping it holy and staying harbored in You. And I need some happiness, Lord. I need You to show me how to be happy. It's in the heart. We serve Him and follow Him. It's not that bad times won't come. It's not that hard times won't be there. But friend, even during those times, He'll be there to help us get through it. And we can encourage ourselves in Him today. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come today. Let God help you today. If you've never been saved, I encourage you to come and trust Him.